Broadcasting from the heart of downtown Calgary, we are Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Pretty good morning. Jabari Arthur, who turns out, finding out now it's his birthday.
What a boy. Yeah. It's good homework by our research department here.
Could have, could have done a little looking, I suppose. But Jabari Arthur in studio talking about the new endeavor that he is a part of with Kids Cancer Care. Awesome stuff. Had Steve Elkington.
Oh, man, the legend.
The Elk.
Elk.
Now, Jay, did do we have our podcasting issues figured out?
Yes, we are now able to get everything up online the way that it should be.
All right, so
that'll
perfect.
All be up within.
You can give yourself a round of applause for that.
Good
if
stuff.
You'd like.
No, because people have been asking where's the podcast? Where do we find the audio? If you missed Steve Elkington this morning, you will want to grab that, as he had a, as you might expect, a few dandies mixed in there. So Elkington, you'll find online.
The old honey hole.
Earlier this morning, we went to Saskatchewan and had a chance to catch up with a longtime sports personality, radio, television, and whatnot, in Regina, Saskatoon. He's Ray Morrison. And fresh news this morning that Weston Dressler is back in Saskatchewan and will, in fact, suit up for the Riders this weekend in the Labor Day Classic. Our conversation with Ray Morrison from earlier today. We had lined up this interview prior to even hearing about Weston Dressler, but where else do we start, Ray? Did you have the same sentiment? It just felt like it was a natural, that's where his heart is, and I was not surprised at all to see that he was going back to join the Riders.
Well, it's kind of, there was kind of a some cautious optimism here in Saskatchewan, and fans were pretty nervous when they started talking about Ottawa versus Saskatchewan, because Ottawa has all sorts of cap room, and you think about what the Red Blacks could do with a guy like Weston Dressler, it would be pretty incredible. And keep in mind that Ottawa would have had people in Weston Dressler's ear, such as Keith Schulligan, such as Zach Evans, guys that played with the Riders last year, who would have been in Dressler's ear going, hey guys, it's pretty cool over here. It's a new franchise. And then the team could have said to Weston Dressler, look, we can build this thing around you. You know, our biggest star here receiver-wise is Marcus Henry. And no disrespect to Marcus Henry, but I think his career high in receptions has been under 600 yards in 1 year. And Weston Dressler, five times in this year, in his CFL career, has had over 1,000 yards. So that would have been a compelling situation to be in if you were Weston Dressler. But at the end of the day, you know what? The defending Grey Cup champions come to him and say, look, we're not that far away. The West is pretty tight now. We know that the Riders have the funds to make him a big offer down the road. So, as Arash Madani reported, you know, it's a $200,000 deal prorated this year with a small signing bonus. That's what Arash said, that could work out pretty well for Weston Dressler down the road. So now one of two things will happen. Now we're wondering if this will happen. Will they work out an extension before the end of this season, or do we go through the same thing again next year?
Yeah. I know Gary Lawless from the Winnipeg Free Press reporting this morning that this offer from the Riders was actually the third best financial package put on the table. So we wonder here in Calgary, we know that Ottawa was around 250, and like you say, Arash Madani was all over this thing. He reported that quietly the Stampeders were in it. Yep. We wonder maybe if that offer was north of 200 from Calgary. We'll never, I mean, we may find out, but right now we'll certainly never know. But it speaks to that loyalty that's there with the Riders. And I kind of like when these things work out. Brendan Tamman stuck to his $200,000 offer and said, you know what, we'd love to have you, but we need to know by tonight because we want you in the lineup. So not that he was forcing his hand, but he was firm and made Dressler make this decision.
Well, and the other thing that you have to consider, guys, because that's a good point, is in Saskatchewan, you put your face on a bag of chips. That might be worth a few grand, right? You make public appearances that you can't make in any other market in the Canadian Football League, and you can make some of this money back pretty quickly over the course of a year. And I think that might have been the other thing that may have been in Weston Dressler's thought process. And I'm just thinking out loud for him. I mean, guys, there's a store in Saskatoon, and so that's where I am, 2 hours north of Regina. That Rider store does over $2 million in business a year, 2 hours away from where the team plays. So that kind of gives you an idea of some of the extra income a player could make in this province beyond his salary. And that may have also been something that Weston Dressler took into consideration here.
I'm curious your read on this team, because there's obviously no shortage of Rider fans wherever you go, but the ones that I've spoken with, they're, you know, here's the Rider, 6-2. They've won 5 in a row, just 2 points back of top spot in the entire league. Yet it feels like there's something missing when you talk to them. And I don't know if it's just kind of that always cautious attitude maybe some Rider fans have, or do you see that maybe the Riders aren't close or aren't near being at their full potential yet?
Well, you know, one of the stats that jumps out at me, guys, is last year, 8 games into the season, the Rough Riders had thrown 20 touchdown passes. This year they've thrown 8.
Yeah.
So I think that's what fans are looking at, is kind of that lack of explosiveness on offense. You know, last week against BC, we all saw the Rob Bag drop at the 15-yard line, and everybody, when Sinceri threw it to him, and everyone was wondering, what's going on? And then later, Dan Clark makes a touchdown catch, the big offensive lineman. And fans are wondering, well, where are the big corner routes and the big post routes that this team was running? And I think that's kind of what they're alluding to there, is that it just doesn't seem to be coming quite as easy. The other issue, of course, that the Riders have had has been in the run game. They benched Anthony Allen early in the year when he had some fumbleitis. Jerome Messam looked like he was going to be the guy, and then he gets nicked. And this is a team that, since Corey Sheets has left, hasn't really had that one starting tailback to tighten up a defense. Will Ford has come in from Winnipeg, and he's done a good job. But week to week, you never kind of know who the starting tailback's going to be. And, of course, when you can determine that, that's when you're going to be able to tighten up a defense and throw deep as well. So it's happened. The Riders have had to grind it out a little bit. The run game was good by committee last week against BC. But, the fans are just looking for those steady go-to guys. And, they just maybe haven't emerged yet, where you know from week to week who the star is going to be. But it is ironic, because the team is on a 5-game win streak. And I think sometimes here in the province, where they love you, win or tie, that gets lost.
Yeah, the bar is set high, and it's kind of the same thing here in Calgary. We talk to Huffnagel every week, and if you win, sometimes you don't win by enough. It's kind of one of those mentalities that's hard to live up to sometimes. Ray Morrison is our guest. You talk about who the starting tailback is going to be. We know who the starting quarterback is going to be, right? It is going to be Darian Durant, in spite of the hand injury?
Well, we don't know that. He didn't throw at practice yesterday. So it's not a guarantee. The Riders could be playing a little bit coy with Winnipeg going into this Labor Day battle. You never know. But he didn't throw much yesterday. And it's like Corey Chamberlain said, look, I haven't seen you throw. And until I see you throw, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to put you into a football game. And really, what's kind of neat for Tino Sinceri is the fact that they were trailing last week and they had to regain the lead with Sinceri at the controls. So let's say the Riders had to put Tino Sinceri in under center here for the Labor Day Classic. The West is so tight right now that maybe you can afford to have Sinceri get that valuable experience, make sure your starter's number one, and have that pay dividends down the road. So nothing's in stone yet after the team's first day of practice this week, which was yesterday.
Got about 60 seconds for you. I guess we talk here in Calgary, the Eskimos and Stampeders. This is the first time in a long time these teams have been so close in the standings. Kind of the same thing with the Bombers and Riders for their Labor Day game, it looks like.
Well, isn't it great to see the job that Jones has done in Edmonton and Mike O'Shea has done in Winnipeg, because it just makes for a great West Division right now. And, Corey Chamberlain, the defending Grey Cup champion coach, and John Huffnagel have really been pushed to the brink by the other Western opponents. So that's good. Because of that, obviously, there's some disparity between the West and the East. But I think, to be quite honest, some credit goes to the head coaches for the way the Eskimos and the Bombers have rallied here to kind of run with the Stampeders and the Riders in the West.
Ray, always appreciate it. Enjoy Labor Day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
There's Ray Morrison talking about, among other things, Weston Dressler back in Rider colors. Apparently, reports out of Winnipeg with the Free Press suggesting that the offer to Dressler from Saskatchewan was the third highest in terms of dollars. The Red Blacks in the neighborhood of $250. We heard that the Stampeders were also in on it. So is it driving the price up? Were they looking to get at Weston Dressler in the end? He takes Saskatchewan, really not a huge sign.
Right, and Arash Madani tweeted this, a nice clarification. Don't be fooled by the hard over dollars storyline, he writes. On a prorated deal after taxes with playoff money, gap's not much. Remember, there's no playoff though in Ottawa this year. There's going to be some in Saskatchewan, to be sure.
We will take a break, And when we come back, we, as has been well documented, have moved into a new building. We have a new home. It is in the City TV building, which is downtown. And we now, Jabari Arthur, he was a guest on Breakfast Television, slid on down. We had Norm from Cheers on. Interesting stuff. But I'm not sure that, as happy as we are to be here, I'm not sure the TV is happy we're here. I don't know that it goes both ways.
Just inherited some bums, yeah.
Yes, a guy who, I don't know who he is, but apparently he's on Breakfast Television.
Oh, come on.
Head Tenley will join us when we come back.
It's not usual,
19 after 9, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
25 minutes after 9 o'clock, rolling through your Thursday, we will have what you want to talk about coming up in the next segment so you can get them through 960-960 on your mobile phone. Pleased to be joined by our next guest. Apparently I had it incorrect. Ted Henley.
That's more familiar.
Not Head Tenley.
I'm Head Tenley.
Yeah.
Ted Henley, who works for Breakfast Television and City TV, joining us here in studio. Isn't this nice?
I'm your neighbor now.
Rogers Synergies at work in front of your very ears.
Do you have any brown sugar we could borrow? any sugar, Ted?
Synergies is a word I never knew until I entered like the corporate world.
Yeah, we're apparently knocking down silos.
Yes.
Out of our silos.
And creating synergies.
Yep. Synergies and, you know, like maybe relationships.
Yeah.
Lots of things with shun in it, you know?
Yeah. IONs.
Yeah.
So we've moved in. You had no choice.
We had no say whatsoever. Yeah. Actually,
it was take your stuff and pack it up because these people are moving in.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but I changed desk locations 5 times.
What?
To make room for you guys.
Yeah. 5.
Yeah. That's 5 lunches you guys. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious now because what where we're sitting right now, for those people that don't know, but if you've ever been to the building, you come in the front doors and we're immediately on your left-hand side.
Yeah. This is the primo spot.
It's not bad. We share the window and the front of the facing of the building with you guys. So if people are familiar with Breakfast Television, when you're looking out those windows, if you come just a little bit west, that's where we are.
That's you guys.
So what would have been here? Like your massage parlor?
No, the massage.
Vibrating chairs.
The parlor was taken out.
Yeah.
That's a human resources issue. That's still under debate whether that should have happened or not. This was nothing.
This was kind of between
open space.
Because it was part lobby and it was part reception area.
That's right.
Because I used to work as the camera guy way back in the day.
Yeah, and you and I worked together many years ago, right?
A long time ago. I don't think we'd recognize each other. This is so long ago. I had the huge afro and was just the punk at university working here in the summers. But
now,
this was like
and now you don't have
greeting.
The afro.
Exactly. Everything's the same, except the hair. I wish I could keep the afro.
Yeah.
It's just faded. But this is where you would come in and guests would be welcomed with a coffee and they could sit out at the bar and get used to the lights and watch the show for a bit so that when they came in, they weren't nervous, right?
Gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't gobsmacked. So you guys are in the non-gobsmacked area, which is great.
So who would be the most standoffish about this? Would it be office staff? Because no one likes sacrificing space.
Sure.
No one likes to have people just moving into their territory without any choice. The boss, this is what it's going to be, and you're going to like it. I'm just wondering who out of the group with Breakfast Television might be still muttering under their breath.
Oh, it's easy. I mean, we're all okay with it except our weather guy, Andrew Schultz, our meteorologist.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's upset because he has to take about 6 more steps to the coffee machine now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, adds to his day because he talks about how busy he is. But, well, I don't know. I can give you an example of what Andy does during his weather. Because, you know, I mean, well, all of our phones have an app for that now, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's true.
Yeah.
I see he comes on the air and there's the whole, hey, I'm a meteorologist. I've taken the course, so I really know what I'm talking about.
I'm a science guy, yeah.
And then he tells you everything that you can find on your phone in 9 seconds.
And he's still getting paid, right? He's not volunteering for this?
He still gets paid.
Wow.
He still gets the free coffee here, you know. He still gathers that. Anyway, so today, for example, in between his weather information segments, as he likes to call them.
Yeah.
Because he gives you more than just the weather, just the forecast, right? He came today with some ideas with us because, well, there's 2 rules of thumb when it comes to who the most well-read people are in a television station. Number 1, camera people. Camera people read everything and anything that's ever around. And number 2, weather people. And Andy today in the Sun, in the Calgary Sun, found a flyer. He's a big flyer guy. Thursday's usually liquor flyer day, and he'll highlight which dozen beer he wants to buy for the weekend, that type of thing. Today was a flyer for Bianca Amor's Liquidation Supercenter. And his favorite page today was the As Seen on Television special.
Oh, of course, you know those things that you see
late night, all night, kind of the infomercial type.
How have we lived without this to this point?
And one of those things is the perfect pancake pan.
Really?
Yeah, that's about $20. They're selling it for $5, though, apparently. Wow. That's the idea. Another thing is something that looks a lot like Jenga, but it's not. It's called the Drunken Tower game.
Totally unrelated.
Which is fun. Yeah. But the number one thing that our meteorologist found today as he was researching the weather information to bring to us was that you can get a toilet golf game for $5.
Oh, no.
You sit on the john,
okay,
and you practice putting on a artificial turf putting green in between your feet
with your mallet
and it says, okay, the game is for avid golfers, of course.
I would suggest it includes
the putting green, of course. You get a flag stick.
Yeah.
There's the cup where the ball has to go, but it comes with two balls in case you lose one.
Of course it does. Yeah, that would only make sense.
Exactly. And that's what our chief meteorologist does in between his weather information segment.
Well, back years ago, I would fill in on weather because it was one of those stations, kind of like this. But back then, if in a small market especially, if you could do anything, you were going to do it. For no more money, but you were going to do it. So the veteran weather guy was taking holidays.
Yes.
They weren't going to pay to bring somebody in. Can you just stand in front of the green screen and fake?
And point at like Saskatoon or Edmonton.
So I could kind of ad-lib, being that I was a radio guy, so they got me to do it. So you get in front of the green. I was studying how to do this, and I was very nervous.
Sure.
The surface map, which shows, okay, here's the country, and here's the H and the L, and this is a red line with arrows on it, and this is a blue line with, like, bumps on it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so what is all this? Like, what am I supposed to? And he looks at it, he's like, oh, don't worry about that. Just stand in front of it and talk.
Don't worry about the front.
No, the H is high pressure, and this is low pressure, and it's just moving air around. As long as you know what's happening in the next couple of days, just say, well, this is why it's happening.
Yeah.
Because this is moving in, and we're going to see some unseasonable temperatures, and it's going to be cooler. And then go into your, okay, right now it's 8 here and 5 here and 10 there, and then do the forecast, and you're done. So I basically did that.
You did a weather information segment. You did.
Schultz went to school for 4 years. I went and had beers with the weather guy. And
poor Schultz. He's not even here to defend himself.
Well, he will be eventually.
He will be. Yeah, he'll come back guns a-blazing, too. We'll hear some Ted Henley stories when he comes in.
Of course. Oh, my gosh,
So what are the TV people? Because you've done both. Yeah. You're on 660.
Yeah.
I always go back to college when you had to specialize in one or the other.
Yeah.
Radio guys were the kind of extroverts, loud, going out every weekend. TV people, maybe a little bit more introverted. That's the case here, right?
Of course.
It's a bunch of introverts over there, right?
Of course. We don't do anything in television.
I don't know if I'm buying that.
No, of course.
I think your co-host was like a lead singer of a band at one point.
Tara was. She did sing in a band called Joy Drop.
Yeah.
She toured the country for like 10 years.
Cool.
You can't be an introvert if you do that.
No.
No.
What did I do? Nothing. I just did the news, I suppose. But yeah. The difference between radio and TV, the one thing I remember from my 660 news days compared to my breakfast television days and my, you know, straight up news guy days before that, shaving. You have to shave on TV.
Yeah. I don't do that ever anymore.
I do that about once a month.
I did it about once a week when I was on 660.
Yeah.
But now of course I have to do it every day. Right.
Yeah.
And makeup, of course.
And you cannot be disheveled or wear ball hats, which we are all the time.
All the time.
You can't. Yeah, you have to be fully coiffed, as they say.
I'm concerned because I know that, again, with the synergies, you guys are going to come here. We're going to go on the television.
Of course you will.
There's going to be a time when we've talked a lot about how Warner does not, when Rhett Warner comes in, he does not shower. And he takes his hat off, and he often will not have socks or shoes on.
Whoa.
Yeah, if he doesn't find, if socks aren't on and he's down the stairs, he doesn't go back up for socks. He's on his way.
Wow. And has he seen the new digs here yet?
He came in once.
Okay, because I heard a promo that he's been off for about 3 years.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
He works a couple hours every few weeks.
Yes.
And gets paid more than
all of us.
More than you want to know. Yeah. But he is coming back. We have the text line, and apparently people are happy that we've got the guy from the Eagles on.
The Eagles,
The Eagles?
I get asked that all the time, and I have absolutely no connection to Don Henley.
You have
whatsoever.
Do you hate Glenn Frey? Like, is it still bitter between the two of you?
It's very bitter.
Very bitter.
I know. I wish I had a singing voice like Mr. Henley does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by. Thanks for the insight. No, truly, because I mean, Schultz, he's one of those guys. Yeah. He's just walking around with papers quickly to look like he's doing stuff. He's not fooling me.
He's crunching the numbers.
Yeah.
Well, going through
the
data.
Playing Sudoku in the washroom? Pretending to, you know.
Well,
take
now
care
you
business.
Know. I mean, if you guys ever need to know what specials are advertised in the newspapers, Andy's the guy. Again, Thursdays are liquor flyer days. So this was a bit of a shock that he brought this into Bianca's Liquidation Supercenter.
And when you go, go pick me up one of those golf games.
Absolutely.
Because I spend a lot of time.
Your limit, Boomer, is three per person. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so,
two?
Because you need one in every bathroom.
How many washers?
Because I spend a lot of time and my golf game needs considerable work. So it's perfect for me. Thanks, sir. Good to see you.
See you again.
935, Sports at 960, The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Twenty-one minutes away from 10 o'clock. Boomer in the Morning continues on your Thursday. What a show! Ray Morrison had Jabari Arthur of the Stampeders in studio. Mark Spector for an hour, and
Elk.
No, the guy that was just here.
Oh, Ted Henley. Yeah, not Head Tenley.
Head
you're
Tenley.
They're doing that wrong. Ted Henley go way back. He's a beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do here shortly is give in to peer pressure.
Mm.
Due to overwhelming desire from the listener, we're going to replay a conversation from earlier this morning. Also, what you want to talk about, so we're going to kind of double dip in this segment. We're going to take it to the limit right up to 10 o'clock.
Feels like the 9 o'clock hour, doesn't it? Yeah.
We'll finish with what you want to talk about, but we had a conversation. News, now again, this morning, Weston Dressler, it was announced he was going back to the Saskatchewan Roughriders, finding out late last night that the Calgary Stampeders were in on that. To what degree he was tempted, hard to say, and to what degree the Stampeders were really aggressively going, were they looking to make things interesting, drive up the price, who knows? I'm sure they'd have loved to have had him. But news this morning involving Josh Gordon from the National Football League, ESPN's Chris Mortensen reporting that the Cleveland Browns receiver, who is suspended for the entire NFL season, he got that yesterday, appealed the suspension, it was upheld, so he's got nothing to do all year long. Chris Mortensen reporting that he is exploring the possibility of playing the rest of the season in the Canadian Football League. The Calgary Stampeders own his CFL rights. However, the CFL says that teams in their league are not allowed to sign players under contract to NFL teams, even if they are suspended. I don't know how hard and fast that rule is. I know they like to play nice, the CFL and the NFL and all of this. If there's a, you know, if someone has more muscles to flex, it would be the NFL.
Clearly.
So, does this happen? I would say there's a 99% chance that it doesn't, but it is a story that's making its rounds this morning.
It's the Ricky Williams rule. I don't think the NFL liked it when they suspended a guy for the year and he came up here and played football and made money. And, you know, the whole point of a suspension is punishment, and going up to Toronto and teaching yoga and playing three-down football wasn't exactly what they had in mind for Ricky Williams. And then second of all, if you're the Cleveland Browns and you've invested how much time, money in this guy, and you understand how crucial he is to the future of your franchise with young quarterbacks and a good defense, but a football team that is, you know, climbing the hill, not on its way down.
Yeah.
They're pre-apex. Would you even allow him to if it was allowed? Probably not.
Well, it's curious because he would need permission from the Browns, apparently, because he is still under contract, even though he is suspended. Now, if the Browns say, we'd rather have you play, you know, rather have you play in football, I can't imagine why they would. But if they were to say yes, would the CFL and NFL play nice? I'm sure the other CFL teams would kick up a stink. They wouldn't want the Stampeders just plucking Josh Gordon out of one of the fine young receivers in all the NFL, just inserting him. I'm sure the Edmontons and BCs and Saskatchewans of the league would stomp their feet, but
yeah,
I don't know.
But they'd also understand that they've got guys in their negotiation list too, and that the way the NFL is suspending guys, that wouldn't be that. You know, you got to think big picture too. Of course, your enemy's getting better, but you might have a guy in a similar situation in a year. I just see this as a 0% chance because the NFL holds the cards. They've got all the money, and clearly the CFL bent under pressure after the Ricky Williams thing. What the NFL wants, it gets. You know, they're just too powerful.
Let's do this. We will have time for what you want to talk about. It will be abbreviated, but I think it's well worth it today because earlier this morning with the Shaw Charity Classic in town, from the minute it was announced, the listeners wanted one guy in the show. Get us Steve Elkington. The man joined us earlier today. Elk, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, fellas.
Welcome back to Calgary. What's shaking?
Mate, I can't believe how good the weather is here. 60 degrees. I've been in Houston. It's been 120. I've got a sweater on, and I pulled it out of the packet today, mate, and it hasn't had to wear for about a year.
But it was nice yesterday, right? You had a little bit of sweat going yesterday.
Did I have a bit of sweat, did I?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Well, I'm guessing, you know. Get a little swass going when you're out in the course. How was the pro-am?
Oh, mate, the golf course is in such mint condition. It's better than it was last year. I mean, what do you guys do up here with the turf? It's just so lush.
We had a great summer. We had the rain when we needed it, and then it was hot and dry when it needed to come. So, yeah, I don't know the last time for Canyon Meadows that it's been this great. It's perfect for you guys getting going.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm out this morning early to play. Of course, we start our tournament tomorrow, and, you know, we got a great sponsor here in Shaw, and I got to go downtown the other night to the Pro-Am party and check out the city. Mate, it's a good spot up here. I see why you like it.
Yeah, so you were in Banff, I understand.
I was going to try to shoot my show in Banff, but we had a hiccup on some stuff, so we went to D'Arcy Ranch and shot it there, and that was a super, super fine, mate.
Now, you, because I talked to some people, you went to Banff last year for the first time ever, is that right?
That's right. I would have to consider Banff Springs and that whole area up there probably in the top three picturesque places on earth.
Yeah.
But as you know, that I'm doing this show called The Rural Golfer, and we've shot two shows in Canada this year, one up in Niagara Falls with my co-founder, who's Canadian. But the other show we shot this week was here, and we focused on Spruce Meadows, which is where I parked the big show. And we did Lisa Longball out at D'Arcy Ranch. So we had a real Calgarian in Lisa Longball.
It's hilarious, dude. As soon as they knew you were coming, and it's been a while, all this week, where's the bus? Where's the motorhome? Where is Elk Park the big show? I feel like you have no privacy because you can't hide in that thing. What's it like traveling with your motorhome?
Well, I don't do that, mate. I let Craig, Big Show Craig, set it up.
Yeah.
As soon as he puts the green light up on the board, mate, that's when I come in. I don't fool around with driving it.
No, of course. You're no flunky, right?
But, mate, I've got the biggest mobile home in the world. I got it from Will Smith. He had it on TV one time. He was shooting Men in Black, and he had a recording studio in it. Anyway, I just called the company, and he was getting out of it, and I got the guy that owns it, Anderson Mobile Estates, to take it up to Pebble Beach to let me look at it. And, mate, I said, this is what the Champions Tour is all about right here. No more hotels for the Elk. I'm going to get the big show. I put a putting green in it, a couple of bars, got the full shower, kitchen, whole show, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw a picture. You got the, what is it, a zebra skin rug?
Yeah. Got to have that.
Yeah. So, but you must have some stories because, yeah, you fly in and then you're in the big show. But do you have, like, the hooligans and the Lugans banging on the windows in the middle of the night?
Try not to do that if we can. But we do get tips. I mean, we take viewers coming into Twitter at ruralgolfer.com or ElkPGA. We like to take ideas from people why we should come to their town and who we should meet to shoot the Rural Golfer. Now, The Rural Golfer is just a show about people that love golf. It's just a passion show. So, you know, we finish up digging into, the back streets and the little courses that every one of you guys play. And we highlight these characters, mate. And we've had a ball this year shooting The Rural Golfer.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because to do a golf show, there's a lot of them out there. How do you create something that's different? How do you make it entertaining for people who are maybe just average golfers as opposed to the diehards? How did you come around to getting this the Rural Golfer to the form that we see it today?
Well, I've had a website called Secret in the Dirt, which is highly populated by Canadians. It's our second biggest base of people in there. And we've been shooting instruction videos in there for 4 years. So I didn't want to shoot any more instruction videos on a TV show. Now, we do have instruction on each show that someone, the diehards get out of it. But mostly, we just want to shoot passion and why people love the golf. You know, this week we had Lisa Longbore, who's just a long driver who flies at like 300. She's coming in nationals next week. That's cool. But we've seen some other great things. Johnny Rogers, who plays his Canadian football up here. He was the Heisman Trophy at Nebraska. He loves golf. I mean, I've shot ropers, world champion ropers that competed in your Calgary deal up here. We shot them. They all love golf. So, mate, it's universal wherever you go that people just dig golf. And I tell you what other people are digging is they're watching that show and they're like, hey, every course that we shoot is public. So if you like our show, you can go there and play.
We are chatting with the legendary Steve Elkington in town for the Shaw Charity Classic here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Elk, yeah, you're an Aussie. What's it like being back in the Commonwealth? You like getting north of the 49th here?
Yeah, I do. I do like coming to Canada. Canadians are good people because they're so much like Australians. They work hard all day, and then at the end of the day, if you're with a Canadian, you look at one another at sundown, they're like, where's the bar? You know, so, you know, we... And the other thing is they love their sport, mate. People say, oh, are you surprised that there's tons of people come to the Shaw Classic? Mate, I'm not surprised at all. I used to play with Mike Weir on the tour, and, mate, we'd be in Greensboro at 7 o'clock tee time on the back nine, and there'd be 4,000 Canadians out there waiting to see Mike Weir hit the ball. I mean, they're fanatical, which yeah. I love. It's great.
How do you enjoy the Champions Tour? It seems like it's a little easier on the guys. There's no cuts. It's three rounds. You could kick the feet up a little more, right?
That's right. That's right. It's a little bit of hit and giggle in the pro-ams and stuff, but we make sure our amateurs have a great time. But the nice thing about Champions Tour is everyone, you know, out here, you know, all you guys have followed these guys, whether you're talking about, you know, Tom Watson or Craig Stadler or whoever, you know, Hale Irwin, everyone knows them. And then, but I tell you what, once the gun goes off on Sunday and you earn in a paycheck, then it all of a sudden we have a flashback to 1975, these guys, and they go berserk. And we're shooting scores out here that's just unreal.
So who's you're on the Champions Tour. Like you say, you bring in the big show. You're going to have some fun. Every stop becomes an event. Who's on the Champions Tour when we watch this weekend? Who are some of the good boys? Who likes to come and have a pint or two with you? And who are some of the sticks in the mud that you're working on to loosen up a little bit?
Well, I don't have time to worry about the guys that are sticks in the mud, but I'll tell you a couple of guys. Rocco Mediate is one of my top friends. We shot a show around Rocco in Minnesota a couple of weeks back. That's a show that you shouldn't miss. And Mark Calcavecchi is a close friend of mine. He has a bus, too. We call it the mini show. So he always parks with us. But there's a lot of guys. John Cook, Nick Price, these guys that, you know, we played together for 30 years. So, you know, it's not just a, you know, it's not just a drunk fest. We are out here hitting the ball. There's no point coming to Calgary if you can get drunk at home, right?
Yeah.
So we want to play good golf while we're here, you know.
And I think that's the kind of the thing that for people that came last year to the Shaw Charity Classic and then come again, I think they will be surprised that this is as competitive as it is. Yeah, like you say, we're about having a good time, and yeah, we're no longer on the pressure of the PGA. But you know what? When we're on the course, if we're going to play, we may as well try and win this thing.
Yeah, and there's plenty of money, mate. I mean, Bernard Langer is an absolute machine. I think he's already up to like $2 million this year, and we're only sort of 2/3 of the way through it, but. You know, like I said, a lot of guys are still trying to make a living. I saw Hale Irwin in Minnesota 4 weeks ago shoot break his age 3 days in a row. I mean, he shot 68. He's 68, 69 years old, mate. He 67, 66, 68. I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me in a tournament. And I'm pretty amazed at some of these guys. Bob Gilder shot 63 the other day. He's 63 years old. And I see a guy like Rocco last year, he shoot 22 under, and I'm like, I'm just shaking my head. I mean, I can't see 22 under around this track out here.
Yeah. So tell me about the course. You got on it yesterday, right?
Yes, sir. The course is, you know, basically Canyon Meadows. I mean, probably people are pretty familiar. It's a pretty flat course. It's got a few rolling hills, but it's a narrow golf course. It's in superb condition. Looks like the weather's going to be pretty good, and they've got a super field. Freddie Couples is here. Bernard Langer's here. All the top players are here, and, you know, one of the stops that I think one of the reasons the guys like to come up to Calgary is, you know, we don't get to go. We have never been up here very much. And then the second thing, the weather's so good. We play so much hot weather in the summer that this is everyone's like, oh, can't wait to get to Canada. Can't wait to get to Canada. So we love it.
Loves it. Why wouldn't you? Get Banff, Got fly fishing.
He's a good boy.
Got the boys. You got the Big Show. You got the Boz in your RV.
The complete interview you'll be able to find on our website, where he talks about things that have gotten him in trouble in the past, comments, opinions, and he is, if nothing, unapologetic.
The honey hole.
Speaks his mind. Yeah. Big Black. The honey hole. All that. He has a publicist that is around him 24/7 just to put out fires.
She doesn't sleep.
Yeah. Let's do this, an abbreviated edition of the thing that, what's it?
It starts with the W.
The thing. What,
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
That is correct. What you want to talk about, a presentation of Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's largest selection of Jeeps. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops. Get yourself a Jeep. Home of the Jeeps, Varsity Chrysler. What you want to talk about, you get on your phone, you text in, whatever you want to talk about, we will get in on it. Boomer, who will be on the Oilers power play? I would suggest Jordan Eberle. You might see Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. They might even put a goalie in net.
I think they'll have a goal.
Make it like a 5-on-4.
Unless they're way down late in the game. I expect a goaltender on the ice for their power play.
Mm-hmm. Boomer, any interesting stories of fans of the show approaching you on the C train? It's only been 2 weeks.
I hear it's standing room, too, that time of day.
I try and be somewhat discreet and under, you know, not that I don't want to talk to people, but I don't want to talk to people.
You got the glasses and the fake mustache.
Yeah, I just, I do that. There was a gentleman who was doing some recycling that came on the train this morning.
You want to elaborate on that? Maybe stretch that out a little, give us a little more of
that?
Well,
he clearly is dedicated to the environment, trying to make the world a better place.
Good.
And had a bunch of aluminum cans in a garbage bag. And brought them with him onto the C train this morning in what I'm guessing is an effort to try and, clean up our city. So kudos to him.
Did he have a cape on? Was he wearing tights?
No. This,
some sort of an environmental superhero?
No, but clearly, I wish there were more people like him because we could all probably do a little bit to make this city a cleaner place.
He was up and at it early, it sounds like. That's dedication.
With all the things we know about marijuana helping people with pain, would you risk a suspension from the NFL or any other league for that matter to help with pain caused by playing that sport? I'm not going to pretend to know why Josh Gordon repeatedly got dinged for doing dope. It's just not smart. It's just don't do dope when you know you have a huge chance of getting caught.
Apparently, he had 60 tests between his last positive and the one that they had, and even the B sample didn't test, and the threshold is 1/10 of that of the IOC. NFL's super anal about marijuana. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. You should be handing out 2 Super Bowl trophies to teams if they're smoking dope. It's not performance enhancing. I don't know why they test for it. And the NFL, it hurts their image because every year you got 5, 6, 7 guys not playing that are stars. If you weren't testing for the stuff like the CFL doesn't, you wouldn't look like a league full of criminals as much, would you?
Mm. I'm going to address this because I've gotten it a few times. What's with the Katy Perry CoverGirl commercial on the Rogers Radio app? It's a sports radio station. That is so far up the ladder from me, dudes.
It's you, isn't it? Didn't you say we need some CoverGirl ads?
It's like, I don't know about the fan club points or the codes and stuff. Do you think I know what's going on with the Rogers app and the fact that Katy Perry's on there? It could be worse. Enjoy some Katy Perry. Because she's got, she's got.
Something.
Talking about old-time hockey this morning with Spectre, have you ever watched a game for the old Forum in Montreal? I've not watched a game there.
Probably won't.
But I did go in the building where they've kept, actually, you can see where center ice would have been, some old stands.
Now, what is it now? Is it like a superstore or something?
Yeah,
like
it's, there's a few things in there.
Here's a good one. This may be over your head, but I'm very familiar with it being a downtownite. Have you tried Tubby Dog?
I have not tried Tubby Dog.
Are you familiar with Tubby Dog?
Vaguely.
They were on one of those food shows where you got to eat here. And
you know who was on yesterday? It's a true story. You know who was on You Got to Eat Here yesterday? Grooman's Deli.
Our boys.
Our boys were on yesterday.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Tubby Dog, unbelievable. You can get hot dogs with like Captain Crunch, grape jelly, Cheetos, chips. It's a crazy hot dog.
How about mustard and relish? Can you get that?
There's a large variety of those as well.
Where is it here? Make fun of the homeless. Nice work, idiots. Look.
I thought he was a superhero.
Just settle down. Just settle down. And how do you know he was homeless?
Yeah.
Why are you being such an insensitive dick?
Here, huh?
Just relax.
Jumping to conclusions.
Hey, fellas. Heading to Jubilation Dinner Theater tonight with the wife. Have you guys ever been? I've not been to Jubilation Dinner Theater. It's like the live kind of a...
Okay.
You're a good boy, though, for doing it. Just make sure, you know, that she realizes the sacrifices that you've been making to make her happy.
A little bit of this, mm-hmm. A little bit of that.
You know, if there's a little maybe here, maybe there. I have to listen to that commercial every time I launch the app.
Great.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Oh, question here. Flames broadcast team? Well, we've not had that question.
I'm surprised no one's asked that all summer.
Any word on Flames play-by-play? Yeah, just very rare. Boomer, you got to relax this week. Listen, I'm relaxed. Why does everyone get so bloody uptight? It's a, you know what? If nothing with this show, it's not serious. We're not curing disease. We're just coming on, playing fart noises and talking sports most of the time. Just relax. Everyone is so easily offended. Oh, I'm so offended. Oh my God. Like, really? What would happen in the course of an ordinary day, then, if you're that easily offended? You can't leave your house. Get under your covers, pull them over your head, and stay in, because the world is going to be way too difficult a place for you.
So like you're saying, you're totally relaxed.
It's just ridiculous. It's like these people that are all with the ALS thing. Oh, I got enough of this clogging up my Facebook. Enough with the ALS. You know this ALS. You know what?
Charity.
You know what? Again, go back to bed, pull the covers over your head, and go to sleep. More, less talky. This is how we will end the show today, because it is very apropos and in the spirit of not taking things too seriously. Less talky, more farty. There you go. Talk to you tomorrow, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.